This is Ted Brower. It's June 29th, 2015, and I've got a special guest today. Dave Hodges will be joining me in just a few moments. A lot of stuff happening in the news that I want to talk to Dave about. The Dow Jones Industrials at almost a 300-point drop. The Chinese stock market is almost down another 300 points. And we're having some major, major disruptions in the international markets right now because of what's happening with Greece. They're about to default on the euros. Hopefully they'll be able to get that worked out between them, and I guess it would be Germany. We'll have to bail them out again. So we've got a lot of information coming your way and a lot of health information coming your way. So we'll be talking about a lot of different things today with Dave Hodges. Dave Hodges is the radio commentator and the author of the Common Sense Show and has a great newsletter you guys need to sign up for. And he's the one that we're partnering with as far as on the satellite, on the radio portion of what we're doing now with Health Masters. And this show is being brought to you today by Health Masters. And Dave, it was so good to be on with you last night. I'm going to introduce you now. You can come on in, and I've got a bunch of questions to ask you so my audience can get exposed to you. So good afternoon from Jekyll Island, Georgia, the home of the Federal Reserve. That's where I'm broadcasting from today, Dave.
I am so honored to be speaking to someone from Jekyll Island. I never thought I would make it this far. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and it seems like we just hung up last night.
Well, that's true. We were on last night. We were discussing everything last night. I was in Florida still last night, heading my way to Jekyll Island. I went to the Jekyll Island club here on Jekyll Island where the folks actually met from the Federal Reserve, and they actually have a room called the Federal Reserve Room. And in 2010, Bernanke and Greenspan showed up here, had their photograph taken in the room at Jekyll Island where the Federal Reserve, I guess the board, the group, people who put it together, met in 1910, and it was the 100-year anniversary, and both of them were laughing hysterically in the photo. I took a picture of it. I'll show it to you. And I guess the joke's on us. I guess they figured that this place is remote, Dave. This place is in the middle of nowhere. And this is where they met because they wanted complete and total secrecy. When they got off the train, there was first names only. Nobody could use their last names. No one could know they were here because they were basically plotting the overthrow of the financial system of the United States of America. And in doing so, staging a coup on the United States as far as taking control through their Babylonian money magic. They knew what they were doing through the Rothschild banking cartel. They've done it. Been 113 years now, almost 113 years since they signed that into existence, and here we are sitting in this mess. We were the greatest creditor nation on the planet, and now we are the greatest debtor nation on the planet. So what do you know about the Federal Reserve Banks, Dave? What do you know? To share with my listeners a little bit about that, because my folks have mainly been hearing
about it. I would like to be able to play in their game. I mean, if I have a dollar that you deposit in my bank, if I'm the Federal Reserve, I get to loan out $9. I mean, who wouldn't want a piece of that action? And then, you know, they have a monopoly on the money supply, so they charge a usury fee. So for every dollar they print, it averages out that they get about 6 cents back. So people wonder why do we have inflation? Well, I just told you why. We should not be having inflation because we should be getting interest-free money from Congress, as we did from about 1800 to 1913. We had interest-free money. In fact, you know what's interesting, Ted, is I've taught this in my undergraduate sociology classes, is that a dollar in 1800 was still worth a dollar in 1912.
That's right.
It hadn't changed. But from 1913 to today, a little over 100 years, the dollar has precipitously dropped from a dollar to 3 cents. Where did the other 97 cents of every dollar go that went into the pockets of the Federal Reserve founders?
That's exactly right, Dave. And you know what's also interesting? People don't understand exactly what you mean by that. That's called fractional reserve. And when they did the Banking Reform Act in 2008, I remember I was listening to one Wall Street insider, and he said they actually changed it with the use of derivatives now. They can go up to 40 to 1 instead of 10 to 1. And the crazy thing about this is with the derivatives, they can go just exponentially to 1 if they'd like, because they can just make everything compound on the value of a derivative, which is basically just straight gambling. And that's what happened to us in 2008 when the market pretty much collapsed. And sadly, none of those positions were put back into place again. The whole thing about it is that we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve System, just like Ron Paul says. We need to go back to sound money, and we need to get these bankers that are controlling our planet and this entire global infrastructure out of our lives for once and for all. And until we go back to Sound Money Day, this is never going to make any difference as far as what you and I do or anybody else does. We can wake up the masses, but until we're ready to get rid of these guys, and I tell you what, if we get rid of these guys, they're going to cause tremendous pain in the financial markets. If the United States right now was to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, which we could do by an act of Congress, if they would actually get off their paychecks and their wallets they're being paid from the Federal Reserve, the hundreds of millions just get that TPA passed, if they were actually to go in and get rid of this, and Obama were to get rid of it and sign it back out of law and start printing real money again, the United States would probably have one of the worst depressions it would ever have initially, because the value of our money would go pretty much to nothing initially, because they would make sure of that on the international markets, unless the entire planet got rid of these Rothschild robber barons at the same time. That's what we have to realize, is that this mess they've put us into now is such a spider web through the entire financial system that it would be extremely painful for at least a few years to get rid of these guys. But in the final outcome, we could actually have freedom and prosperity back again. But of course, you know that 95% of the media in mainstream America is controlled by these banks or their interlocking corporate directorships. The same thing with the pharmaceuticals, the medical schools, all of these different places, all of these controlled. The boards on the medical schools who put the students in, everything is controlled. It's such a giant racket. It's like Smedley Butler said, war is a racket. War is controlled by these guys. In fact, I remember a few years ago, the lady who was the Rothschild's mother said, there are no wars unless my son wishes there to be a war. And I tell you what, Dave, that's still the way it's going today.
Well, it really is. And the old saying about all wars are bankers' wars is really true. And it reminds me of this old Native American proverb that goes like this. It says that there is no tree so foolish to have branches attack each other. And this is ultimately what war is. We're the only species on the earth that wages war against its own species. And that's done for profit, for greed, for avariciousness, for satanic worship. And that's who ultimately controls our money system.
No, that's exactly right. It's the Babylonian magic, money magic, they call it. It's actually like a sex magic ritual, the way they do it all, and the power they bring back into the ether, they call it. These guys are sick. And whether you believe any of this or not, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. This is just what they do. And they're just a bunch of Luciferians, what they call themselves, the sons of the fallen, actually. I think it's a benign Nephilim. They actually trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod and Lucifer himself. And the sad part about this is the vast majority of the population doesn't know this. And those of us who are waking up to this when we try to tell other people what's going on, they all think we're crazy. But the Chinese market's now lost, I think, 22 or 23% in the last week. So it's pretty much in a free fall. And if Greece does default tomorrow, if they do not pay this huge payment back to the European Union, there's a high probability that they're going to exit the European Union. If that does happen and they default like Iceland did, what do you think the effect's going to be on the euro?
Well, the euro is going to crash. And I talked about this with my guest last night, Joseph Meyer, excellent economist. And I asked him this question. I said, what do you think is going to happen first? Is the U.S. economy going to crash and there's going to be a ripple effect outwards that's going to take down the rest of the economies? Or is it going to be the weight of other economies that are going to bring us down because they're catastrophically failing, such as what Greece is threatening to do to the EU because Spain and Italy will be right on their heels? And he told me, he said, it's going to be an answer. He said the answer was both. Our economy is going to collapse under its own weight, its own debt, but also our debt is being affected by the lack of performance from these other economies that are our trading partners. So it's a bidirectional relationship, and it's one where I think this is going to play out pretty quickly, Ted. I don't think we're going to have to wait real long to see an economic collapse.
I don't think so either. Let me read you a quick article. Part of this, this is by Pam Martin. She goes, Greece has a little more than 11 million people. That's about the size of New York City. The situation in Greece this morning is as follows. The banks and the Athens Stock Exchange have been closed until at least July the 6th, almost a week. It is a week, following a breakdown in talks between Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras and the country's creditors. The July 6th date stems from the vote in the Greek Parliament over the weekend to hold a July 5th referendum allowing Greek citizens to vote on the austerity program offered by the creditors. This is by the Rothschilds, by the way, in exchange for extending more loans to Greece. As a result of a run on the banks as the talks disintegrated, capital controls have now been imposed in Greece, allowing Greek depositors to withdraw no more than 60 euros a day. around $66. Moody's is out with a report this morning indicating that private sector deposit in the Greek banking system have diminished to approximately $133 billion, a decline of approximately $49 billion since November of last year. This is nuts, and this market's going to take over. This is why the European market was down, the American market is down, the Chinese market is down. This is starting to feel like 2008 all over again. What do you think about that, Dave?
It's going to be worse than 2008. 2008 is going to seem like a recess. If we would have let just well enough alone in 2008 and let Goldman Sachs and their friends take dives like we should have, yes, we would have gone through a hell on earth scenario for several months. It wouldn't have been as bad as what Hank Paulson told Congress, you better give us that money or we're going to have tanks in the street. And we would have gone more the way of Iceland. Iceland threw the bankers in jail for violating all their security laws, and the Iceland economy today is soaring compared to the U.S. economy. In fact, actually, in the first year after Iceland's economy crashed when they said no to the bankers, their GDP went up by 4.5%. That's what we should have done then. Now, bringing this forward to today, we don't have that option today. This economy is collapsing like a bad roof in 20 different places. There's not one simple fix that we can enact because in the last 7 years, the people's money from the Treasury has been looted. Our creditworthiness has been looted. And basically the wealth redistribution in this country has gone from where 30% of the country, 1% of the country owned 30% of the wealth. Today it's 1% of the country owns 50% of the wealth and controls the 90% of the wealth. So that's where we're at today, Ted, and it doesn't matter really what the government does. This economy is going to crash and it's going to burn.
Wow, that's some dire news. In fact, it's funny you said, Paulson said that the stock market would drop and we'd have tanks in the streets, we'd have martial law. Well, guess what? We have tanks in the street now with Jay Helm. It's not
Exactly. There we go, right there. Well said.
I mean, we now have tanks in the streets. The Economic Collapse blog has issued a red alert for the last 6 months of 2015. This is an excellent article from last week by Michael Schneider. And he goes on to say, I've never done anything like this before, ever since I started the Economic Collapse blog in late 2009. But he's issuing a red alert for the last 6 months of 2015. You guys can read that on his website. And I like Schneider. I interviewed him on the Power Hour when I was co-hosting that show. And I also interviewed you on that show. And oh, by the way, we are going to have Doug Hagman on tomorrow at 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So
we're gonna show with Doug. So we got a good lineup. So I'll still be here at Jekyll Island for tomorrow. And so the thing about it is that Schneider thinks something's going to happen within 6 months. You know, I think it could start happening right now. In fact, I was interviewing Dr. Howard Miller, who is an interesting fellow. He's a scientist, and he told me that the indicators as far as the computer matrices are showing that we're going to start having some smaller banks failing this summer with a huge bank-wide collapse starting in September by the mathematical and the computer models, and I don't doubt that's even possible. I'm not projecting that as a 100% guarantee. I don't think anybody is, but the point is I think we're starting to realize that the chickens have come home to roost, so to speak, with all this debt that we've done, and if we don't do something immediately, and I don't even know what that immediately can be, it's not going to stop. I think we're fixing to have this whether we want it or not, Dave.
No, again, last night on the show, I talked to Joseph Meyer about this. We have a 1.5 quadrillion derivatives debt. Well, we don't. It's been put upon us. It's not our debt. It's the banker's debt, but they've managed to get government to put this on us. 1.5 quadrillion. And Ted, this is the amazing thing. The interest rate on this for the last year is $505 trillion, and the GDP of the planet is only $70 trillion, and that's a high-end estimate. We couldn't pay off this debt in the 22nd century or the 52nd century. It wouldn't matter what we do. We are going to collapse. The only way out of this is debt repudiation, and I've talked about this extensively. The problem is, the people that you'd have to get to repudiate the debt would be the criminals in the U.S. Congress who are all locked into their insider trading courtesy of the bankers, the $200, $200 million they threw at them to go along with the TPP. These congressmen would somehow have to find a conscience, a soul, a backbone in saying no, and even then the bankers would try to use their influence to roll the troops out and force a civil war in this country before they give up what they feel they're owed. So short answer to long-winded question, or long-winded answer I'm giving you here is there is no way out. People always say, Dave, what about this? What about that? What about it doesn't matter, Ted. The game is over. We're in the fourth quarter. There's 3 minutes to go, and our team is down by 6 touchdowns. You cannot catch up and make this right.
Wow, that's a really sobering analogy. I know when I watch Florida State, my alma mater, I graduated from Florida State 3 times, Dave. When I watched them get beat last year by Oregon, I remember it was at the end of the third quarter, and we were down like 3 or 4 touchdowns, and we were playing awful. And I told my wife, I said, I tell you what, I'm TiVoing this right now, and let me know how it works out, because I can't stand watching this. And that's kind of how like I feel about this slow motion collapse. And then last week was probably the best week the communists and the globalists have ever had in the United States of America. They got their fast track deal passed, which helped to push the TPP through, and they also got the Supreme Court to usurp all states' rights and say that marriage now can be between a man and a man, and all states have to order it. It's federal law. And now a church can refuse to do this. They can refuse to marry a gay couple, and that church can be sued. And if they don't want to do it, they can seize their property. They can seize their assets. They can sell it on the auction block if they win this case against them, because it is now the law of the land. And I had a frat pastor friend this morning. I was talking to him, and he goes, well, we'll make them go through our church counseling program. We'll make them become a member. We'll make them be a regular attendee before we can marry them. And I said, it doesn't matter. You can do all of those things, and they'll say you were discriminating against them, forcing them to do that, and therefore they're going to sue you. He goes, well, it's not true. I said, it doesn't matter. It'll be a whole bunch of lawsuits all over the United States to finally take down what's left of the Christian church, because the Christian church is a government-run 501(c) corporation, and they have to comply with the edicts of the United States Supreme Court. Dave, what do you think about that?
Boy, we could be talking tomorrow at the same time. I could filibuster on this forever because I've written so much about this. Here's the short answer. About 80% of the Christian pastors out there are sellouts. They're sellouts because they want to maximize the money that comes into their church. Hi, worship God, love God, send me money, and you'll get everything you want. That's not the way that religion works, really. That's not the way that God works. But that's what's being sold today in the pulpits. They stay away from condemnations that homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. It says it several times in the Bible. And so what they're doing, if they agree to marry homosexual couples, they're tacitly approving of sin in their sanctuary. 28,000 pastors are members of what's called the clergy response team. And I've interviewed for a print article Pastor Walter Mansfield, who was one of the first recruited by DHS to the clergy response team. And guess what they were trained to perform? Their pastoring. Their pastoring duties would take place inside a FEMA camp. And they were not allowed to mention Jesus, God, or quote the scripture from the Bible because the Bible's been hurt, used to hurt people. And that's a quote from DHS on page 14 of this document for clergy response team. The church is lost. And unless your pastor is condemning abortion, is condemning homosexual marriage now as sanctioned by the Supreme Court, your pastor is a fraud. I don't care how much you like him. If he's not condemning these obvious sins in the pulpit of his church, and he's doing so in the name of protecting his tax exemption so he can maximize the money he brings in and does not have to give back to the federal government, he's a fraud. Now, will this cause the breakup of the church? Probably. This will probably do more to stifle Christianity in this country, but it isn't necessarily a bad thing, because what people can do is what people did in days gone by. They can meet in homes and have Bible studies. And they don't have to play these games. They don't have to go along with the government edicts. In fact, excuse me, I just read today that Mississippi is considering the dropping of marriage licenses.
That's
so they
right.
don't
that's
have to comply with the Supreme Court decision. Now, that's only in the discussion phase. But this is what people need to do. And I mentioned this last night when I was talking to Joseph Meyer. What can we do? We need to stop playing the game of the global elite. We need to stop shopping at their Kmarts, their Walmarts, their slave marts. We need to get most of our money out of the bank. We need to put it into gold and silver and other precious coins. We need to shop and eat out at restaurants that are local, the mom and pop stores. We need to get out of the stores and the economy controlled by the globalists. We need to collapse their system from within, because their system is not our system, because it's being used to exploit us. So what we need to apply that logic to churches is get the hell out of the church. How's that for a pun? I mean it. Get the hell out of your church. If your pastor does not have the guts to stand up to this criminal Supreme Court and this illegal ruling, it's totally unconstitutional, and they totally overstepped their bounds with the enumerated and delegated powers concepts of the Constitution. Get out of your church. Form your own study groups. You'll be closer to God. You'll have prayer partners. You'll probably have a much more meaningful spiritual experience. And as far as I'm concerned, the church can go away. Christianity doesn't have to go with it.
I agree with you, Dave. I mean, that's how I look at it. There's a lot of pastors out there. The problem is they're wearing lace on their underwear, and they don't have enough testosterone to tell the truth anymore, and their lifestyles are too comfortable. They want to do whatever they want to do. I've spoken for a lot of major ministries. I've been on a lot of major ministries TV shows. I've done fundraising for a lot of major ministries, and I'm here to tell you, there are some good ones out there, but the bulk of them are not good. They have bad marriages. They have compromised lifestyles. I actually had one guy, I was going to be on a national talk show, and I met the owner of the network, and he came walking out on the platform to ask me questions drunk as a skunk. I mean, drunk, not in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking drunk on alcohol, reeking of alcohol. And I thought to myself, this guy owns one of the largest TV networks, and he's drunk as a skunk, bloodshot eyes, staggering around the platform. I mean, it was almost a joke. It was almost a joke. And I thought to myself, what in the world have we become? Why aren't we holding our religious leaders accountable? Tell me about Romans 13, Dave, and how it's been misinterpreted in the churches, please.
Well, that's actually what the pastors have been taught to preach in times of national crisis, is get your flock together, gather them into your church, and tell them, Romans 13 says, render under Caesar what is Caesar. Therefore, the modern-day translation, according to the Department of Homeland Security, is that you should do what the government tells you, because it's biblical. No, actually, the Bible tells us to stand up to illegitimate authority. The Bible tells us to speak out and stand up to sin. And this is what's coming out of DHS. But Romans 13 will be used against us, and it's the clarion call for the clergy response teams.
Absolutely correct. In fact, that was one of Adolf Hitler's favorite verses, was out of Romans 13. And what it basically says is that we're to obey the law of the land, because the king was put there before us by God. Well, here's the deal, and here's how I look at that. We don't have a king in the United States. We have a constitution that was put here to govern us. That's why it was put here. That's why the forefathers signed off on it. That's why the states put it together and ratified it. That's the constitution of the United States. That's what gives the states the rights. That's what gives the United States federal government the rights and its restrictions. And what we need to do is we need to look at the Constitution as the law of the land, and we need to make sure the Constitution is honored according to Romans 13, not some godless bureaucrat in Washington or Supreme Court justice is telling us what to do, regardless of what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says, thou shalt not kill, if the government says to go kill everybody, that's not of God. And that's the biggest problem that we have now, the folks in the United States, because of the clergy, these idiots in the pulpit, these spineless people in the pulpit, are not telling the people the truth. Now, there are some good preachers out there. In fact, Rodney Howard Brown and I, in fact, it's his big seminar we're having in Washington, D.C., starting next week. I'll be speaking there on Thursday and Friday night. The Hagmans will be speaking there on Monday and Tuesday night. And it's going to be a huge, huge seminar. We've invited hundreds of thousands of people to it. We'll be right there in front of the White House at the Constitutional Hall. If you go to revival.com, you'll see the information on that. And remember, this is next week. So if you're in the area, you could drive over for the day, for 2 days, hear me speak, or the Hagman speak, or hear Pastor Rodney speak, come hear us. Because remember, Pastor Rodney is one of a kind. Him and Pastor Dave Dalbermeyer, they're both going to be there. It's going to be a huge, huge, huge show. We're going to be bringing people to Jesus Christ, teaching people the truth, talking about the Constitution, doing what we're supposed to do as Christians. If we were to all do this in the aggregate, we could go ahead and save the country, because we have a stabilizing force when the crash occurs. Because this crash is coming. Unless God Almighty supernaturally intervenes, this crash is coming. And that's what people don't understand. And the United States may not survive it. We may go the way of the Union of the Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. We may be broken up into satellite states. I believe there's 10 or 12 FEMA districts they've already broken us up into right now. And we may be governed by each of our district states to make it easier for the Rothschilds to control each of the areas from a geographical standpoint. And I said that correctly. The Rothschilds, the Sabbatane, Frankist, Kabbalist, Rothschild, the Kabbalist numerologist, they do everything by numbers. They do everything by how they want to plan things in the supernatural world. They actually say they're being run by Lucifer himself. They're the ones that are doing this. This is bringing in the New World Order. This is bringing in the Book of Revelation. And if you can't wake up after you hear this show today, if you continue to sleep in your slumber and think, well, this is okay, nothing's going to happen, then you deserve what's coming your way. You deserve it. So if you guys can get to Washington this coming week, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there for 6 full days, and we're looking forward to meeting a whole bunch of you guys when we're up there, Dave.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. I wish I could be a part of it. Hey, I wanted to just respond to what you said about divine intervention. As hard as you and I might pray, and those people listening to this broadcast, I think God has made his judgment. This is a nation under judgment, and we only have ourselves to blame. We sat idly by, as did the pastors in the pulpit, since we have killed 60 million babies since Roe v. Wade became law. What's the ridiculousness about this? You remember these ridiculous arguments where women say, it's a woman's choice, it's her body. Excuse me, the fetus is not part of the woman's body. It's a separate entity. She's the carrier. It's not one and the same. A woman doesn't engage in self-mitosis at birth and separate into two. This is the most illogical, unscientific explanation for some kind of legal justification. But again, who came out with this? Our wonderful Supreme Court, that rather than interpreting the Constitution, they have turned themselves into a pack of activist wolves. And I have absolutely no faith in this government whatsoever. You know, it's funny. I'll go back and sometimes I'll see memorabilia from the 70s and 80s and so forth, Ted. And I'll look at it and say, man, our country is a lot better place then than it is now. And I'll go back in memory lane, and then I look at the trash that we have to live in today, the absolute filth coming out of Washington, D.C. It just disgusts me. I'm torn. Part of me wants to say this country deserves to fall, because then we can really have a chance to kick the bad guys out, and it's going to take a conflict to do it. And then we can rebuild this country back to what it was meant to be. Then the other side of me says, the country falls, it'll never be what it was. And I'm going to point to something that you said about the breakup of the country, and I agree with you, is that if you look at the original Jade Helm map and the 7 states that are listed, and then you go find a document called Atzalan de la Reconquista, which means to reconquer the old Aztec Empire, which is a lie in itself. The Aztec Empire was never in Arizona, California, Nevada, and so forth. It was never there. But this is the trash that's being put out in print by professors in many universities across this country, even in high schools. I found this guy on Facebook who, at Englewood High School in California, he was putting this out. And this, it's amazing. The map for Reconquista de Atzalan is 100% a match for the Jade Helm map. I don't think these things are coincidences. We are going to see the breakup of this country. In fact, you know, Nixon had that, what was it, 1972 or 1973 directive, and he divided the country into 10 regions. I mean, this has been in the works for a long time, Ted.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I listened to a Russian general one time under Sahashi, was in subcaptions, and he had written a whole article on this. And he said that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt the United States was going to be broken up into 10 separate districts. And you can actually Google that if you have a Russian general. This is like 10 years ago, talks about the United States breaking up into 10 districts. And the sad part about this, see, the Rothschild banking cartel, they tried to do this with the Civil War. They tried to split the country in half so they could control it more easily. That's what they like to do. That's what they do with the Eurozone. That's what they've done with the European Union. They've got it all broken into the subsets inside of the European Union. They still control the entire overview of it, the whole thing, but it's easier to control the individual countries. Now, they kind of sliced off a big slice of Greece they can't handle right now. They're not sure what to do with that. So we'll see what they do with Greece. We'll see if they send troops into Greece and seize the assets. I mean, if that's what they do, that'll really show everybody who they really are. But sadly, we need to understand something. We need to wake up. Take this message that we're giving today and tell your pastor to listen to it. He may think we're totally nuts, but then have him go ahead and start Googling it and start reading it and learning for himself what's going on. See, when the United States did the Roe v. Wade, you're absolutely right, back in 73, they legalized abortion and the mass murder of children. We think what the Nazis did by killing the 6 million Jews, Christians, Catholics, everybody else, everybody thinks it was all Jews in the concentration camps that got killed. They weren't. There were millions and millions of people who got killed other than the Jewish folks. And what's interesting about this is we allowed that to happen with Nazi Germany because we really didn't know about it. We knew about what was going on with Roe v. Wade. We knew and we know that it's been 60 million abortions since then. And we've allowed it to happen. We've promoted it. We have people that have abortion parties. They get so geeked up about abortion. They have parties for abortion now. They're so excited about helping to keep the planet pure and getting rid of all these useless eaters and all these parasites, they call them. That's how sick this is. Because remember, these guys are Luciferians. They've taught the people in the United States that God was wrong, God is bad, Satan's right, Satan's good, everything God created was bad, everything has to be turned upside down. I had Henry McCow on the Hagman and Hagman show. I interviewed him a few months ago when I was hosting the Hagman show. And what was interesting with that, he goes into detail on this. He'd be a great guest for you. And he talks about the Luciferian cabal and how they run the planet and what they're doing and what their end game is going to be. And the whole thing about it is everything is designed to upturn everything that God created. That's why marriage between a man and woman, sacrosanct. Not anymore. Now it's an abomination. Now it's maybe pretty soon we'll be marrying animals and everything else. It may not be this generation or the next generation, but if we stay around long enough, it'll be everything goes just like Sodom and Gomorrah was. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, it said that every thought of every man was evil all of the time. Then God finally sent the flood. He saved Noah's family because Noah had clean DNA. He had not been inbred with the fallen angels. This is what happened over a thousands of year period. They completely contaminated the gene pool. And this is exactly what's happening again with all of the genetic manipulation. That's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. See, apparently, this has happened before with Noah, and God knew when they get to this level of depravity, this level of sickness, this level of perversion, Dave, that the entire world, the globe, the entire essence of mankind cannot stand it. It can't do this. It can't go here. Because of just the subversion of everything. And see, this is where it's going to go. Whatever is up is down. Whatever is right is wrong. That's the goal of these guys, and that's what they've been doing with Hollywood. That's why almost the entire Hollywood elite are Satanists. They routinely worship Lucifer. They sacrifice to Lucifer. That's why Ted Gunderson back in the 90s, he discovered a huge satanic sacrificial ring in Hollywood. He was the head of the FBI for LA County, and he talked about the sacrificial rituals. This was all about when Sharon Tate was slaughtered. All of these different things. A lot of these Hollywood starlets, when they're killed, when they're young, it's all part of Luciferian worship or Luciferian sacrifices. This thing's a mess. Hollywood has corrupted us through the use of all of this Babylonian magic that they've done, and we have sat here and we've allowed it to happen to the churches, and when you try to talk about it, when you try to talk about the Thule Society, you try to talk about the Viril Maidens with the Nazis, you try to tell them what's going on, nobody wants to listen because everybody's stuck in normalcy bias, and everybody thinks it's going to be okay. Well, it's not going to be okay unless we, the American people, the Christians, come back in aggregate to try to fix this mess. I almost wish that we would split the United States up into two sections and have this liberal under the rest of the other section and have separations like we almost had in the Civil War. If that had happened, then we would have been able to maintain our rights a lot better in the Confederate States. And I speak as someone whose parents came from Germany and grandparents came from Germany. I had no axe to grind in that fight. I had no dog in that fight. But when I look back on it, I think that wasn't a bad idea. If they're this liberal, this incredibly against God in these northern states that are so unbelievably anti-Christian, if they really don't want to be involved with that, then we just need to go start our own deal, find our own country, take it over or buy it or whatever we need to do. It's like Atlas Shrugged finally said, you know, when they went to Galt's Gulch, you know, in the book, they finally had enough of it. They don't want to live like that anymore. So that's what we understand. guiding the cohesive.
Well, I agree.
This entire work.
But Ted, I think at the end of the day, we're going to run out of places to go to, and there are not very many attractive options right now for expats to go to. I mean, I'm getting deluged by people from Ecuador and Paraguay and such places. Costa Rica is another one. I have no desire to go to those places because those are banana republics, and they could turn on you faster than the criminals running our government. I mean, New Zealand is actually a fairly attractive place, as is Norway, but it's extremely hard to get in there if you're over the age of 30, unless you're a doctor or you have a specialty skill that they lack in their economy. So it's really difficult. Ultimately, here's what it comes down to. We're all going to bend over and take the 666 mark, or we're going to discover our backbone and we're going to push 666 and the mark of the beast back to a later generation because we'll stand up and fight and ultimately defeat these people. We're not getting out of this without a fight, and I'm not advocating violence. You know I never do, but we're going to get pushed into a corner where we're not going to have a choice. So it's either acquiesce or fight. And those are the two choices that we're going to be left with at the end of the day. I mean, they're on record. I'm talking the globalists, the Ted Turners, the David Rockefellers. These people are on record saying that they want to kill. They want to wipe out 90% of us. This is the goal. This is what they've said in their writings. This isn't Dave Hodges saying this. This is what they have said. Well, if they want to kill out 9 out of 10 people, and I don't want to be one of the 9, you know, then we're going to have to stand up and fight. I'd rather fight and die on my feet than I would bent over before some satanic worship idol and be slaughtered that way. I just, Ted, get so angry when I talk about this. By the way, I know time's going to slip away from us really quick here, and we can return to this, but I wanted to give you some breaking news.
Go ahead, do it, Dave.
This is huge. This is absolutely huge. The same sources that brought me the Benghazi event, which, you know, I was fortunate enough to be about 4 to 6 months ahead of the rest of the country because I had good inside information, brought me some information on the F-16 crash in the Arizona desert near the Mexican border, and that crash took place last Wednesday. I've been sitting on this information for 4 days, and I published an article, and predictably I'm getting skewered. I'm taking criticism like you wouldn't believe. But here's what I've got. This plane was piloted by an Iraqi brigadier general, and this plane was about 10,000 feet up when it mysteriously just plummeted from the sky. The pilot did not try to eject, and the pilot did not issue a mayday call. One of my sources is someone on the inside, and another source I have and has been my best source for many years is someone who knows people on the inside, and they're both saying exactly the same thing, that a catastrophic electronic failure caused this craft to crash. Well, what would cause a catastrophic electronic failure? Well, it'd be an EMP burst. And as I started doing research over the last 4 days, because I know this is an outrageous claim, I started to find out that, yeah, the Russians have this. I even found a YouTube video where some kid devised a localized EMP that could stop a calculator from working. And so this technology is clearly here. The Russians sold this technology in 2014 to the North Koreans, and I was able to document that. And the Russians are the leader in portable EMP weapons. And what I've been told is this particular weapon system is indeed satellite-based, and this is going to be really important to this story. It's satellite-based, and it also uses laser targeting. Now, who is down by the border? Well, we know there is at least 4 ISIS base camps. Judicial Watch has basically proven the existence of one. My sources, including 2 Border Patrol agents, tell me, no, there's a lot more, and they're encountering ISIS coming across the border all the time, and when they catch them, they're ordered to release them, the same as they did MS-13 a year ago. So what we know now is that this plane, piloted by an Iraqi general, and it makes sense ISIS would take this plane down if they had foreknowledge who was piloting it, because ISIS and Iraq are at war in the country of Iraq. So this plane was crashed using an electronic EMP device that's localized. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and this is information that I've only obtained in the last 2 hours since I published the article. This is not in the article that I wrote this morning, is that to operate this weapon in the manner that they did, they would have to be tied into a satellite. Well, they sure as heck weren't in American satellites. So whose satellites were they in? They were in the Russian satellites. And what I wrote about in the article, Ted, was a chain of custody. What we know from the Judicial Watch documents and their insider sources is that this ISIS base camp, 3 miles from the border, 8 miles from El Paso, Texas, has strong connections to the Sinaloa drug cartel and many of the other cartels like the Tijuana cartel. Well, we know the cartels, and I published the link to this in the article this morning, have had official recognition from this government that the cartels are involved with Hamas and Hezbollah. And what's interesting is there's a middleman between Hamas, Hezbollah, and the drug cartels who are now intermixed with ISIS on the border, and that is the Sanchez Paredes, the biggest drug cartel in Peru. It's basically run by the Peruvian Army, who we have trained amazingly. And many DEA agents have been down there. They've tried to eradicate this from their local headquarters in Peru, and they all lose their jobs. One of them is one of my inside sources on this. So here's your chain of custody. Russia uses Hamas and Hezbollah and the Muslim Brotherhood to reinforce the weapon systems of Syria against the U.S. CIA-backed rebels trying to overthrow Assad in Syria. So we have that connection right there. The linkage from the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, Hezbollah, they send their weapons to the middlemen, the Peruvian Army, the Sanchez Paredes drug cartel, who in turn turn them over, and this is also hand-in-hand with drug shipments. They turn them over in San Salvador to the Mexican drug cartels, and they make their way north. This is the flow of drugs into this country in a very, very big way, but it's also now the flow of weapons. The chain of custody and the fact that you had to have a satellite used in this EMP attack on this F-16 in southern Arizona near the border speaks to Russian involvement in this. And this is, I'm going to write an article tomorrow where this isn't the only incident of its type. In fact, actually, if we go back to earlier in June, a Border Patrol helicopter was fired on the American side of the Rio Grande River. And boy, they whitewashed that, and I got out of the news very, very, very quickly. But what two of the Border Patrol agents, who I've been speaking to for over a year, who will speak freely, said the Border Patrol all knows this, that they're dealing with ISIS crossers and that they were pursuing a group that was headed for vehicles waiting for them at the junction between Highway 93 and I-10, and from there these ISIS personnel could be distributed anywhere in the country. And this is what they were attempting to interdict when they were fired upon. So this bringing down the F-16 is not the only incident of its type. Russia announced, and this made our media for a short time, and then it too disappeared, announced that they were going to try to ferment the secessionist movement in Texas. They were hoping that they could help break Texas up, and I'm sure you read about that as well, too. And we know this is coming, and here's how we know this is coming. I've got on-the-ground reports and also pictures of Tornado British aircraft training in North Carolina, and it's the same location in which we had British paratroopers drill with American paratroopers from the 82nd Airborne back in late May, where they dropped in from the skies. We're preparing to fight a war on our soil. And I'm going to link this into the Red Dawn scenario, and I'm going to lay this out tomorrow in some depth, because Russians right now have weapons, men, ships, and planes, and heavy military equipment in no less than 12 Latin American countries who have signed military alliances with Russia. There's your Red Dawn. And I'll give you a little bit of a coincidence, Ted. You know how the media works. I went and I did some research 4 days ago when I started working on this F-16 case, and I was looking for Red Dawn scenario proof in the media, because you know how they like to announce what they're going to do. Well, I found the second Red Dawn movie, the remake of the original that came out, three, 4 years ago. That's actually been on major American television stations no less than 8 times in the last 30 days. I thought that was one heck of a coincidence, or maybe not so much so.
You're
so that's my breaking news, Ted, and I wanted to make sure that I got this out here for your audience. The Russians are posturing. Now, I'll just leave you with one more thing, and I'm going to write about the military application of this. Now, Dave Hodges is not smart enough to know about the military application. I've never been in the military. But what I've been told is that if you have a Red Dawn scenario, and you have these Latin American nations pushing north, presumably through Mexico, crossing our southern border, they will need some form of air support. Well, you know, one military base in the United States could knock down the air support that could be generated by the cumulative efforts of these 12 nations. So what they're going to have is basically a way to bring down planes preliminarily so as not to interfere with their particular desire to bring air-supported troops into this country in a Red Dawn scenario. So what better way to do it than the weapon I just described, which is a localized EMP? And boy, this gets really interesting, because you mentioned this last night on my show. Space-based weapons and platforms, I think World War III will be decided by whoever can kill each other's satellites the most.
Real quick question, is this why the Jade Helm is positioning so many troops on the southern side of the United States?
You know, it's interesting you said that. I can't answer that absolutely affirmatively. The opinion, and I want to say opinion of one of my sources, I asked him this, he said he believes so, but it's his opinion. But I will tell you what a Texas Ranger major wrote to me, and he said very clearly, he said, don't get so focused on the Walmarts, Dave, although I think there's a lot to be concerned about. He said, focus on the fact that we are preparing in Texas to deal with ISIS invasions, where they will take over small towns, execute police departments, basically engage in a reign of terror. This is what I was told by a Texas Ranger that was echoed by a high-ranking Dallas police officer through a third-party source. So this is where I think this is headed. A short answer to your question is I believe so.
And I've got one more thing I want you to do real quick. Tell me, when I interviewed you on the Power Hour a few months back, you had a scenario that I had never heard before that made so much sense. You said that when Benghazi happened, we almost had a coup by the military to take over the United States, our own military, and it was stopped. Tell me about that and how that happened, please.
Well, very quickly, because I had the best sources in the world at the time, and it was kind of like right place, right time, certainly had nothing to do with my skill. And I sat on this story for 2 weeks, Ted, because I was afraid it was wrong and I would be horribly discredited. And one of my sources said, if you don't run this, I'm never going to give you anything again. So reluctantly, I went ahead with it, and I ended up being validated. What I ran about the coup, I published in early October of 2012, even though I had the information almost 3 weeks before that. I was vilified in some of the fringe media, and I mean fringe, the twilight media that exists between the independent media and the mainstream media like Glenn Beck. And his people just vilified me, but 6 months later they were running the same story. Here's the story and how it went down. You know, nothing really escapes Central Command, and it certainly didn't escape AFRICOM. And what ended up happening was AFRICOM and the Navy were watching the events at Benghazi unfold through drones. They knew exactly what was going on, as did Panetta, Obama, Hillary Clinton, all sat around and watched as these four brave bodyguards and Chris Stevens were executed. They knew exactly what was happening. All parties did. So you have General Hamm, the head of AFRICOM, was told to stand down by Panetta. And he said, well, to heck with that. And he was going to, against presidential orders, launch a strike. Now, in between time, they had some closed channel SAT communications between several high-ranking military officers. And the thinking was, if they could rescue Ambassador Stevens, who was involved in gun running to the Taliban, gun running to Al-Qaeda, child sex trafficking, drug running to support Taliban, Al-Qaeda efforts in Libya and then Syria at the time. And see, the reason that the Obama administration wanted Ambassador Stevens dead is because they're coming up on the election, and some of this stuff was starting to get some traction. People were actually writing about some of these things in isolated pockets. So the thinking was, well, we got to get rid of this guy. He's become a liability. But the military, because they've been under attack, you know, 260 senior military officers have been shown the door by the Obama administration, they decided this is our opportunity. If we rescue Stevens and he knows that he's been had by the administration, he'll sing like a canary and that'll be the end of the Obama administration. So what General Hamm did, in combination with Admiral Guyette, who was the commander of Carrier Task Force 3, Guyette was going to use drones to provide surveillance, and Hamm was going to launch a rescue mission. Well, unfortunately for Hamm, he did not know that his second-in-command, Colonel Rodriguez, was a CIA plant put there by the Obama administration to keep an eye on him. And what they ended up doing was arresting Hamm before they could launch the mission, and the mission was aborted. At the same time, simultaneously, Admiral Guyette was also arrested. Now, the coup fell apart at that point. The military will not lead an active coup right now because they don't think enough people are awake. This is what my sources tell me, to support any kind of revolutionary action. But this was their one opportunity to get someone to sing for them and bring down the Obama administration. And we came really, really close to having this happen. I asked the question, could Hamm have arrived there in time and could he have interdicted? And he said, well, yeah. He said, just the weapon systems on the drone alone that was being used by Guyette to basically give intelligence information to Hamm was armed with missiles. And they could have clearly used this for cover fire. And that could have bought the time that these troops needed to get into position. By the way, we know that the ambassador and his security team held out for several hours. And they were only overrun because they ran out of ammunition. So when we say that Obama and his crew had Chris Stevens murdered, there's no question about that. And so I ran that story in October 2012, and in November I still had black eyes. By January, people were rerunning that article, and really I'd say in terms of my personal notoriety and when people really started to find out who the Common Sense Show was, this is when I kind of jumped to the forefront because I was vindicated by what was coming out. Now, what's interesting, what's happened to these two commanding officers, they've taken divergent paths. General Hamm was drummed out of his command, but I caught him on a video presentation several months ago, I want to say March or April, where he was espousing the virtues of the Islamic religion. So he's become a sellout. Admiral Guyette was sent to Bremerton, Washington, naval base there in Washington State, where he was under house arrest. Now, officially in the media, no explanation was ever given for General Hamm's loss of command. But for Admiral Guyette, what they said he did wrong was he made racially insensitive comments. And I'm thinking, that's like saying an NBA basketball coach is prejudiced against black people. You don't climb to the ranks that Admiral Guyette did and have a problem with minorities in your command, since the military has a large minority contingent in the military, in particular the Navy. And so Guyette was held under house arrest, and in March of 2014, this was revealed that he was drummed out of the military for racial insensitivity, and no one that I've talked to knows what happened to him. I don't know if the man is dead, alive, or where he's at, but that was the near coup that was almost perpetrated by military leaders in the Middle East. And here's what's really reckless, Ted. Obama, of course, immediately sacked these two leaders. But this is the exact time, if you recall, we were trying to goad Iran and Syria into a provocative military action. We kept poking them with a stick. So here we had two of our top four military commanders in the Middle East sacked on the same day. And what I wrote in my article is I said, this happened in a war zone under war conditions. This would be like a football team on the eve of the Super Bowl that they're going to play in. They fire their head coach and get rid of their quarterback. That's what Obama did to our military in a war zone. That's how serious this was. That shows you what a major threat that this posed to the administration, that Obama would so weaken the leadership of our forces in a war zone, he just didn't care.
Wow.
So it's, I'll tell you that it's one heck of an event. Now, are we ever going to have another event like Benghazi where the military will rise up, opportunity has to present itself in almost the same situation. I've asked this question to several military people, why don't you just go march on the White House? And they said, because the people won't support us. And no popular revolution ever succeeds without the support of the majority of the people. And the majority of the people are just dumber than a box of rocks, and they don't know what's going on, and the military is not comfortable standing up because they feel they'd be standing alone.
Okay, real quick, Dave, I got to do a little bit of housekeeping here real quick for the show. This program has been brought to you by healthmasters.com. This is my company that we've had for 35 years. We basically manufacture the highest quality nutraceutical supplements in the world. I know Dave's been on our program now for a few weeks with his knee that was having some problems, and it's doing much better. Also, Doug Hagman has had real high blood sugar. We put him on a supplement program and changed his diet and taught him how to eat right, and now his blood sugar is perfect. And if you go to the front of Health Masters, you'll get two little links there. You can go to the Dave Hodges Healthy Joint Protocol, and then you go to the Doug Hagman Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol, and you can learn how they did that. Now, also, I want to tell you one other quick thing. A lot of other shows on the Internet, and this is why I like Hodges so much and Hagman so much, a lot of other shows besides these two, they really, really kind of run infomercials the entire time they're on the air. In other words, every 4 to 5 minutes, they're running another commercial, another commercial, another commercial. I'm not going to do that. I've purchased the entire clock on this show. But what I need you to do, though, is support healthmasters.com. We have a free newsletter you can get. You can go to healthmasters.com and sign up for it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that person that has to break every 4 minutes for interruption from commercials. I'm not going to do that, Dave. And if you guys have enjoyed Dave's presentation today because we've been able to let him go uninterrupted, that's the way radio is supposed to be as far as I'm concerned. Now, Dave, tell us a little bit about your website, what they can get at the commonsense.com show. And also this radio show is linked on David's website. So go ahead, Dave. Go ahead and give yourself a commercial.
Yeah, people can listen. I've got a link on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and it's in the upper right-hand side. It says, listen to Dave live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday evenings. But that link, same link will also work that you can access any of the programs offered on our satellite server, Globalstar, and that includes Dr. Ted Show. And so, you know, if you want you're on my website perusing, go, oh, yeah, it's 3 o'clock Eastern, and Ted's on the air, simply click that on. My website has grown by leaps and bounds, and we encourage people to come and check us out and offer us your opinion. We've got a newsletter that people can sign up for. It's free. And obviously, all emails are held in the strictest of confidence. And it's a good way to keep up with what's going on in the Common Sense Show by simply having the news delivered to your email box. So just go up there, fill it out. And tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern, you will get an email newsletter from us. And our show, as I indicated, airs from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific. And we talk about things like this, and we have great guests like Dr. Ted Brewer.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. And you know, the thing I want everybody to listen to me for a second now, we've talked about a lot of really negative stuff here. But remember, perfect love casts out fear. You can't walk in fear from any of this stuff. Our God is bigger than any Luciferian doctrine nonsense that's going on. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You have to remember that. I mean, we've already, if you're born again, you've already died to yourself once. I mean, they can't really do much to you after that. And so you need to realize that your most important relationship on this planet is going to be with Christ Jesus. And always remember that. It's so very, very important. I know the music's coming on right now. We're closing the end of the show. But just remember that. Find yourself a good Bible-believing church that preaches the truth in all the areas that we talked about today. And learn to be prepared for what you're going to do. Give us a call, healthmasters.com. Thank you so much for being on with me today, Dave. And look, we're looking forward to having Joe Hagman on tomorrow. God bless you guys and Doug Hagman on tomorrow. God bless you, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.